Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
All right, we're calling the meeting to order. I have no reports to any members of the committee. Seeing no reports from the committee, the minutes are before you.
Move to approve the minutes.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of the minutes as printed, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Ron, did you second that? Who seconded
no,
that?
No, John did.
I seconded.
Oh, who made the motion?
Me.
Oh, okay.
All right. And then we have Supervisor Rodriguez ordinance to set the fees regarding open records requests. And I think where we left that off, there was going to be a report back to the committee. And is there one, Peg?
The report.
Joe, you were going to do that?
Yes. And hopefully everyone got the letter that I sent out. I spoke with Supervisor Rodriguez last week, as well as Chair Rose, and then sent a letter to him as well as to the rest of the committee. I apologize, this was put over for this evening. It was my hope and expectation that I would have something before you for this evening. I do not, I'm not going to make excuses. I will indicate there have been a number of other fairly high priority matters that I've been dealing with. But I am asking if the committee will indulge me to put it over until May. I do believe I'll have something in front of the committee at that point. I want to express my appreciation to Supervisor Rodriguez for understanding the situation that I found myself in, and I do apologize for my inability to have it before you tonight.
Is that okay with everyone?
Yes, for me.
Yeah, but I want to make sure it's done in May.
That is my
all right, because he doesn't, we don't, you know, he's coming here trying to get something done, and I mean, one, okay, it didn't get done, okay, but I want to see something in May. All right, thank you.
That is my expectation.
Thank you.
All right, we'll put that on the first agenda there.
I'll make a motion to defer it then.
Oh, so I
yeah, until the next meeting.
All right.
Is that okay with you?
You made a motion.
Yeah. My only ask would be then, I have talked to Joe, and I do appreciate the situation he found himself in this last month. My only ask for the committee is that should a month from tonight we find ourselves in the same situation, we move with the numbers the state recommends.
Okay, no problem.
Move what? With what?
Move it as
he wants
numbers
to
state
proceed with the resolution.
And if we don't have anything in May, I'll make
or a amend or what's out there. Okay.
All right.
Well, okay.
I will put that at the top of the agenda, but we'll vote on this deferral tonight. Is there any other discussion? All right. Seeing none, all those in favor, putting in the
aye.
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 Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Okay. All right. Let's moving on to Public Works. Trails grant, Jim, you want to do that?
Yes, sir.
I thought it said KR Trails grant. I was getting all fuzzy.
Oh, it is.
Fuzzy. No windows open.
Here. The door open.
Sure.
Yeah, it's a public meeting. Yeah, we have to have the doors open.
Yeah. The resolution before you is allowing or asking you to approve the director of parks. We want to apply for some grant funding from the DNR, and the funding will be used to develop some trails and construct a road and a parking lot in Katy Park.
Move to approve. Second.
Discussion? So this is $1 million?
All we can do with this is apply for the grant. You will have to approve the budget. There's no budgeted funds for it, but in order to even be able to do anything, we just need to apply for it.
So this would be in the 2020 budget?
Yes.
And it's a 50-50
split. Assuming we get it,
yeah. Mm. All right, discussion? So this is merely applying for the grant.
Yeah, we're not approving anything. We're just applying for the grant.
Yeah. But if you didn't want to spend $500,000, then you wouldn't apply for the grant.
Mm. I don't know, I might.
No, I'm just kidding. So, it's pocket change for
you. All right, any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Then we do the 2018 year-end report, and Patty.
Kathy, Andrea.
Hi, Kathy.
Hello,
Mike. That's the friendly Jeff.
Just wait a minute.
I know it's
friendly Jeff. Friendly Jeff.
Yeah. Well,
it's early.
Good question, Jeff. Just as you guys want to get started.
So, yeah, this is an auditor, but Barnes actually
will
start with...
I will start, and then Kathy will chime in at the right appropriate time. The first, everybody hopefully has a packet of information there. The first few pages have to do with the language of the resolution itself. So if I could direct your attention to page one of the packet here.
Are there more packets?
Are there packets?
She's got it on there.
So the year
end report. Yeah, there's some over on the
board. Or you can put it on the board.
Oh, I'll look at the board.
Yeah, I will too. That's fine. You don't have to bother.
It's up there.
If it's up on the board.
And
put the mic in the right place.
I'll watch on the board. Yeah, don't worry. We'll watch on the board.
There should be at least three or four of them.
I tried.
All right. So if I could direct your attention to page one. This is a format that I'm sure all of you are very familiar with. It has to do with our general fund year-end forecast. One difference that I'll bring your attention to. Yes.
Can you ask him to move to the first floor?
Yeah.
We really need to have it open. It's a public
meeting.
Close
the door.
You can't.
You can't do that, Ed.
Yeah, you can't.
Keep it open like an inch.
Yeah. We've
got to keep this open for a public meeting.
You're
going to
be the sergeant
at
arms.
Yeah. He's the biggest
guy. He's the sergeant at arms.
He's got the booming voice.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
He's got the gun.
I mean,
he needs that. The door is that way.
So we've got, instead of in prior reports, instead of having the prior month, for this report, we have the prior year end 2017 compared to the year end 2018. Looking at the boxes at the bottom, it shows that our projected year-end unassigned general fund will go up $1.78 million to $21.4 million, and that is including all the carryovers and any proposed use of reserves that I'll be discussing a little later. So drawing your attention to some of the material amounts on the report itself. Obviously, as we've reported all throughout the year, the largest increases in the area of the tax delinquencies, the decrease in the tax delinquency reserve of $2.9 million. We have a projected surplus in human services of $875,000, wow. Sales tax of $818,000, federal inmate housing and other Sheriff Department revenue of $680,000 and some other smaller dollar amounts. On the lower section of items that are causing decreases of the general fund, including overruns in the Sheriff's Department on personnel and other expenditure line items, overtime and inmate medical and prescription for inmates. The health insurance deficit of $885,000. Vacancy of $620,000, and then the net of the workers' comp surplus and liability insurance deficit of $530,000. The $415,000 has to do with use of reserves that I'll be discussing a little later, or I could discuss it now if you'd prefer. And the $290,000 that was budgeted as part of the 2018 budget for use of reserves. So bringing all that down, it shows that the amount that we're over our 17% minimum is roughly $19.7 million. Oh, I think it was.
Twenty-one.
No, over the 17% is 11 million.
No, we're over 9 million, but the 17% is the 11 million.
Right. I'm sorry. You're right.
Yep.
The amount over is the 9,675.
Where's the nine?
Oh, right underneath. Oh, okay.
The one with the double lines under. Yep.
Doubly important.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, Barbara, maybe next year you could, if you want to make a mental note, I'd like to know what your projection was the last time you presented it to us. Like what you thought. You got the last year, then you got what you thought would be our numbers at the end, so we could see the change. Not year to year is important, but I'd like to know how close we were to what we expected at the last report. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Shine your crystal ball.
Yep.
You had projected 21 million.
So I would put in another column of the prior month.
Right, just the prior month, so we could go year to year, but we can also see, you know, compare what we thought was going to happen at the end of the year with what the real year end was.
Okay, I understand.
Now, with the sheriff's department, was there a, you said it was prescription drugs and overtime?
Correct.
Is there a breakdown of, you know, which was prescription?
The prescription, the inmate medical and the prescription was about 450,000 overrun. So the balance of that.
And then the rest would be overtime?
Correct.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right, discussion?
A lot of that is based on the population and also the ICE people too, right?
Well, actually, the ICE, those are reimbursed directly.
Oh, so those are
so we don't pay for those. This is other than the ICE.
They must be pretty crowded down there.
Or expensive prescriptions. That fluctuates with us.
So these are people who are Kenosha County detainees.
Correct.
Who are awaiting trial or serving sentences.
Correct.
Have more health problems.
Correct.
Kind of like your client. You have to take care of
them. And it's like our health insurance from 1 year, it fluctuates.
I get it.
Depending on the. Clientele.
Some of those people have had the first health insurance they've had for a while. They're in jail, right? I mean, I don't mean that it's a joke, really.
Yeah. That could be. Yeah.
The question on the workman's comp.
Yes.
That's because we had a couple of big things blow up.
Actually, the workers' comp came in at a surplus. Uh-huh. The liability, we had some large claim settlements, yeah. Correct? We also had an increase to our actuarially determined incurred but not recorded. It's an actuarial figure that we have to include. And then lastly, we're a member of WMIC, and WMIC overall did not have a good claims year. So the operating and the capital dividend that we received for them was also way down compared to what we had budgeted. So those three factors combined to about a $680,000 deficit. And then netting that against the workers' comp surplus of about $170,000 gets you to the $530,000.
So we made adjustments in the 2019 budget, I believe, to increase some of that?
Correct. Liability insurance, especially. Yes.
That's reflective in this.
This is just 18. Mm-hmm. This is 18. Right.
Oh, we made adjustments for the 19 budget.
Okay,
budget.
All right. Correct.
Based on what happened in 18.
Right.
So why don't you talk about this $415,000 capital?
Okay, I can talk about that now. So the proposal that you have in front of you has to do with the use of reserves of $415,000. The way that breaks out is, let me get rid of my notes here. So it has to do with
Page five.
So it has to do with a total of $205,000 for Brookside, comprised of $65,000 for a passenger van, which is desperately needed for the residents out there, and $140,000 toward their financials, having to do with, and it would be applied to the salaries, but it has to do with the backfilling of the human resources allocation that we do. As we explained when we did the HR reorg last year, we would employ an allocation to all the different departments to maximize revenues. and the portion that goes to Brookside each year is $140,000. So this proposal is to backfill that $140,000.
So this wasn't a surprise. This is something we had planned and we knew was coming because we're putting out this money for the different HR and different departments.
Correct.
So we knew this was coming. It's not like Brookside was short $140,000 and now we're backfilling that.
Correct. But we are making a conscious decision here to backfill that $140,000 for them.
So
we did budget for it though in the 2000.
And that was a result.
We budgeted for that in the 2019 budget, and so this would be adjusting the 2019 budget for that.
So this is a result of the HR study?
Correct.
So these are increases.
The $140,000 would be an increase to their Brookside budget. This would be backfilling that.
But I mean, these are salary increases.
Correct.
Are they right now getting those increases? Or is this going to be
checks?
This
increases the budget. It does not. It's not increased payouts. They are paying out those things now.
Right now.
This is increasing their budget to help them absorb those costs.
Correct.
Well, otherwise they'd be short.
Potentially.
So that wasn't, how did
no, it was it was budgeted, that allocation.
Right.
Well, it was budgeted, it was but it wasn't funded.
It was budgeted in their in Brookside's budget, but however, they also budgeted $500,000 of
levy
reduction for the overall county, so they had to shoehorn that in. So by doing this, this smooths that out. Also, that $140,000 wasn't contemplated when you looked at the 120, the 20-year forecast.
Are
so
you
this
saying,
minimizes that.
You're saying that we authorized the salary increases pursuant to the HR study, but didn't fund it?
This isn't salary increases for the basic employees. When we did the HR reorganization, we now place HR people at various locations, and those locations pay for their people. Brookside's cost is $140,000, which was built into the budget, but was not originally contemplated when the $500,000 levy payback was calculated. So it's just helping them transition that. We do not see this as something going forward. In the future, they'll absorb this on their own. This is just giving them a little cushion for 19.
So you won. These are the same people that we have in the personnel, used to be in the personnel budget.
Correct.
Now you've switched them to the Brookside
spread
budget.
Countywide. Correct.
And so we didn't fund that?
We did fund
in the
that.
Personnel department?
No, in personnel in Brookside.
In Brookside?
Yes.
But they didn't have enough money to pay it?
That's what's confusing.
That's what it sounds like. No?
They budgeted for it, but by doing this, this smooths out and eliminates that $140,000 that potentially they could be short at the end of the year.
All right, let me summarize this for you, because smoothing over $140,000, this is not working for me. So $140,000 is basically, if we would have had all our HR people right there, that's what it would cost. We're not increasing other than adding those, whatever you called them. I mean, the personnel people we knew. If we had the HR budget for personnel, we'd be paying it anyway. But we're breaking it out into 140 chunks over the divisions. I get it.
Yep.
But what you're smoothing over and what Terry's getting at is Brookside was 140 short on what the money they were taking in or the money they were going to transfer to us.
Potentially.
Well, not potentially, or you wouldn't be funding it this way and smoothing it out. It's not there, so you're giving them 140 so that they could give us, you said, 500,000 to the budget, to the general fund, right?
Right.
So really, you could have done it where they give 360 to the general fund and the 140, we don't need to do this.
Correct.
Because it was already in their budget.
Correct. But at that time, we didn't know what the
start. Right. So you're just saying you're giving this 140 out of what they were giving. You get it?
Yeah.
You get it now?
Got your head wrapped around this once
again. I think you can take your head out of the sand now.
Yeah, I woke up. Yes.
Glad I could help you with that.
So they've already transferred the five to the general fund, huh?
Yes, that was part of the 19 budget, the $500,000.
Yes.
And so you're
so
taking it out again.
This is
smoothing it over.
So smoothing the 140.
A little pothole.
Right.
It's a raised median.
Right.
26.
Yeah, John, did you have something?
22.
John?
This hasn't come before us, though, the budget modification.
Correct.
That's what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Right.
That's part of the
And we put in the $65,000 for a vehicle we desperately need.
Correct.
Right.
That is part of the proposal as well. All these amounts here would go into the 2019 budget, carrying it over from the 18 reserves.
Well, the 140 was already in the 2018 budget. It's just that they didn't.
Jim's for going.
And we're taking it from the 500. I mean, that's, you know, we knew that
right.
we were going to have to pay that as an HR salary.
Right.
Yes.
It's reducing that 500 right. to 360. And the last piece is has to do with the Civic Center Acquisition Fund. That $210,000 would assist with the demolition of various buildings that are in this campus footprint on this block and on the joint services facilities building.
Was this in the budget?
That's what this proposal is doing. This would put it in.
There is a fund for the acquisition and demolition.
Yeah, we approved that resolution.
Yep. And there is money in that fund. And as we had discussions at the last meeting with the potential acquisition of the four properties to put up the tower, that's going to deplete it, but it's going to bring it down. And then the demolition of those properties is going to bring it down further.
Right.
But we'll have them all in the end.
Yes, but we don't want to deplete that fund, so we're looking at transferring some additional funds in there. Normally, we put $300,000 a year in the budget, and in the 19 budget, we did not.
Right.
So this helps out with that.
Mm-hmm. And the plan is to do the demolition in bundles, where we do multiple buildings at once to save money.
That makes sense. Have we acquired all those properties?
I believe that's still being worked on.
That's still being worked on.
There's one that's just
going to take care of all of them.
Right.
That's going to happen too.
Correct.
Once you get the equipment.
So those are the three items that comprise the $415,000 use of reserves.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then on page.
I think we should also look at one thing, that our reserves are increasing from 29.51 to 31.01.
Yes, even with the use of those reserves and the carryover.
We're still going up in reserves. So.
And that is, we're still in excess of the 31%. How am I missing a page?
I think we were looking to get to 35, though, and I don't want to make a habit of using the reserves.
You get the 35.
Who's going to go to 35?
No way. 35% to get to the AAA. I thought 35 was a number.
I thought it was 31.
What do you have to say about what Jim said?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
What are we looking at for AAA as far as reserves? Is it 31%, 35%?
31%.
Okay, good.
31
is
your number.
31 is what I
remember. Okay, all right.
You're dreaming.
Yep.
You get that dream a lot, John. Just relax.
You get the reserves too high, you're going to have some people in there who aren't going to want to cut the budget by that amount that we got in reserves.
Oh, I understand that.
Okay. So also in this packet, on page two, going back, is a analysis that I like to show each year, showing where we are at year end for health insurance, the Internal Service Fund. It shows that we were about $700,000 more in a deficit overall than we were last year. That's really attributed to one thing. Our prescription drugs went up $750,000 or 25% in 2018.
Wow.
When I analyzed the prior 10 years, we averaged a 1% increase, and in this 1 year, we went up 25% in 1 year.
And that's with our health benefits for... Is that what that is?
That's
okay.
That's
all right.
Correct.
Could a lot of that be? That I noticed that I saw something about insulin. How it's skyrocketing.
I don't think it was. It was the specialty drugs. It's the high dollar, highly marketed the newer growth, and those
newer
those are very expensive. In addition to that, we knew in September that we are going to transition to a new pharmacy benefit manager, and I suspect that more prescriptions were purchased near the end of the year by employees not knowing what the new plan potentially would be. That's now,
can they purchase it? They had their doctors prescribe ahead, is what you're saying?
Potentially. Yeah. We did see a spike in those last few months. Now, we did address this for next year That's by going out for RFP for a new pharmacy benefit manager. So we're using a new Serview. Thank you. I thought it was Serve Pro for some reason.
I know.
That's another. That's a different company. Serve You out of Milwaukee. And so far, knock on wood, through the first 3 months of the year, we're $500,000 less than budgeted.
Good.
So we're doing really good with that.
And bring us more news like that.
Yeah. So I'm expecting a surplus as a result of that. That was a move that we did that I believe will pay dividends. So as part of, also as part of this is a kind of a finance housekeeping thing. When we net out all the surpluses against the health insurance internal service fund, there's a net budgetary overdraft of $376,000. So that's another one of the budget mods that's in here, is to increase the budget for medical insurance countywide, and that keeps us in compliance with the audit that we're. The next page on page three, this lists out all the requests having to do with carryovers that need approval by the county board. And I can go through those one by one.
That's all right.
So the first one we have here is for finance to carry over $5,000 in the furniture fixtures. This has to do with a security project that was not completed in 18 and will be doing in 19. Specifically has to do with putting security on the doors getting to the rooms here, so that you have to use a employee badge, so it's not just open to the public, that anyone can walk into the areas here for security purposes. So that's for information technology. They had some equipment repairs that weren't completed in 18, and they proposing to carry over $12,000 for that in hardware. In the capital projects for parks, they had some residual capital funds in highway, and they're proposing to carry that over to the parks to complete a paving project at Katy Park of $155,000.
$1 million park out there.
For the next one has to do with some residual capital funds in the sheriff's department. I believe there were some monies left over from purchases of machinery and equipment. And they're proposing to redirect the surpluses where equipment came in less than what was budgeted, and applying those toward vehicles, because those costs have gone up with the steel tariffs and that sort of thing. Vehicle prices have gone up as well. We've noticed
about right.
It's really made a difference on the highway, some of the quotes that we've gotten on the large trucks.
And who did that?
The next section has to do with, here's some more good news for you, Supervisor Gens. Both the safety building hardware E91 project and the software projects are now completed.
Oh.
The Joint Services has verified that they will not be requesting any more funds for us, and there's a residual of 164 of the E91 and 62 of the software. So we're proposing to combine those residual capital funds and repurposing it toward the last project of the overall law enforcement enhancement project, what has to do with the evidence room in the Joint Services.
That's a big need.
Yeah.
There's no problem reallocating that because of grants or moving of money in any way.
No.
I mean, we have the ability to do that.
Yes.
I don't see the carryover for county board chairs in here.
You won't.
What's wrong with those chairs?
They're not ready yet.
Oh, okay.
I did not receive that request, so I could not put it in there. And the next group there has to do with smaller dollars that were remaining in the equipment categories, account line items within Brookside, and they've specified various items that they'd like to use to offset and use for those purposes that are shown in that list there. That those total $35,000, in addition to a $10,000 residual amount in the machinery equipment, and that would be repurposed for facility needs. So overall, this is a much smaller list than in previous years. But so that's the list of carryovers that would require approval by the county board.
Discussion.
Are we supposed to approve any of these pieces as we go, or all as one?
I believe in the past you've done it all as one.
Yeah.
Okay. Then I would go to page 6, and I believe that Kathy, take it from here. Sorry about that.
Page 6 shows the general fund, and I know we talked about this, but we have a couple of funds that have surplus that are able to transfer that to the general fund and increase the general fund. We start out with 2017's unassigned at 19.6, and at the end of 18 we had 21,596, but the social service, human services, between health and DWD and social services had surplus, and we were able to give $239,000 to increase the general fund, and that's part of our policy for fund balance. So it's really not needing a resolution or anything. It's part of our fund balance, and it just shows what you've seen already, where our expenditures in the general fund were $69 million. And the 17% is the $11.7 million, and so that shows we're over by $10 million, and we're at the 31% with that. That's all we've shown in Barney's schedule also. Then as the financial statement,
maybe I thought you said 9 million. Here and now you're saying 11 million.
This is before this resolution where the
items causing decrease.
I didn't have that.
The 415,000 proposed use of the reserves.
Leaves it down to 31.01.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay.
Right. So
11,744 versus 9 million.
No, 10,090.
But it's 31.01.
11.7 is the benchmark. That's, you know, best practices. We're over that by 10 million. 9 million if you approve the resolution.
Okay.
Yeah. And then as far as the financial statements, pointing out that these are drafts and unaudited, we actually put these together right from our new system. So before we used to have to put them in Excel and do all this kind of stuff, these are wonderful reports that you all approved that, you know, we can get it right off our system and we don't have to do too much to get them to you. The thing is that they are draft, and we still have entries that we have to make, so you understand that, you know, before the auditors are coming first 2 weeks of May, and after this meeting we'll be making any kind of adjustments for the carryovers and things like that. So we also, in general, we're still capitalizing some fixed assets, and that affects these too. So you'll see a little bit different when we get the audit to you.
So we're not going to see these pages until corrected and all the repairs to them until the audit comes in, or what?
No, well, we can show you again, but this is pretty close. The general fund is pretty close. I don't picture anything. But if you look at the first column on page 7, that's the general fund. And the fund balance is the important part that your, you know, the bond rating looks at. We did have the delinquent tax non-spendable amount 2 years ago was $7.6 million that we had to pull out. Last year was $5.8 million, this year is $3.5 million. So as that goes down, our unassigned goes up, and that's a healthy picture. So I just wanted to point that out, that you're aware of that. And then we have some of the carryovers and things that are approved, and our unassigned comes down to 21, and it would be 21.4 if you approve the resolution.
Some of the other funds, the Human Service Fund, they have $63,000. That's just kept out for a bequest that they've received, and they're using that for, that's for the Department of Aging. So I'm going to go to the next page, which is the income statement for those same funds. And you can see the in the general fund, we have the expenditures. There's the $69 million. And the net income's on the page 9. So the top part shows the revenues and expenditures. And then the second page shows the bond money coming in and a net income for these funds. If you can see that I have a non-major governmental funds, that's a roll-up of all these detailed funds. If you go to page 10 and 11, those are funds that are called special revenue funds. And so they're funded by special funding sources, the Housing Authority, Health Department, the Library System, GIS, and Federal Equitable Sharing. Those are what we call our special revenue funds, and the income statements regarding those is on page 11. You can see that, like the health department, they provided us some surplus that we will be moving to the general fund, and the other funds are, you know, just operating and funding themselves, so there's no levy in them.
What about golf?
The golf is coming up.
Okay.
It's coming up.
That's
get your clubs ready, sir.
Right on that golf course, eh?
I can go golfing. Oh, my gosh. Okay. You can't go golfing, Gary.
Hold your club.
You mentioned golf, and look what happens. God strikes us down. What are you doing?
And then the next section are the capital project funds, which you're somewhat familiar. We have the Parkland Development, the Public Safety Building, which is in, you can see the negative numbers there. That's because the plan is that we are doing that with the city, that we bonded for it, and they're paying for half of it. We still will be collecting that money. So we did the part of the project, and we're still have more to collect. So that's why it looks, that's in the hole. Energy reduction, we're accumulating money there to go towards the energy reduction. And then other capital projects are the general projects for a lot of different departments that we have money left there that will be carry over automatically per the budget adopted budget resolution, allows us to carry that over automatically for the same projects that were budgeted. They just aren't completed yet, so that's all identified. And then on page 14 and 15 are the proprietary funds, Brookside, Highway, and Golf. And this is where you'll probably see most of the difference, because we, in these funds, we expense the fixed assets because we budget for them, but then at the year end, we move them to the balance sheet, and we are doing that in the system now. We have a fixed asset module, and just this week, we got to do that process, so that's why these aren't the fixed assets, the expenses. If you look on page 15, for instance, Highway, there's operations and maintenance of 19.7, but that is high. That's some of that's going to be moved to the balance sheet. Plus, there's some projects that we did that we're going to bond for that will be bonding and getting LRIP money in the following year. So that looks a little off, and I think that's the same thing with the golf course. Terry, you asked about that on page 15. Is the income statement, and because we still haven't finished capitalizing the assets, they're showing up as an expense, and it looks like they have a loss there, and that's because we're not finished yet. So,
you're showing a loss in golf of $812,000.
No, it's not.
$347,000.
But that's
one below it.
There's a line here of expenses. It says operations and maintenance expenses of $3,614,000. When we buy fixed assets for golf during the year, we charge it into this account. When we capitalize them and make them an asset, we credit this, and so your expense goes down, so your deficit is going to be positive. And we purchased $700,000 or $800,000 worth of fixed assets. So this amount here, $3.6 million in expense, will be $2.8 million or something. So this will go to a positive fund balance of $500,000, and the fixed assets for the golf fund will go up by that $800,000. These financial statements just don't reflect that journal entry. The same thing with highway. We expensed when we buy equipment and things like that for highway, it gets expensed, and then when it becomes capital, the expense goes down, the loss gets much smaller, but the fixed assets go up. And when she prepared these financial statements, we did not have those entries in there. Both of these will show favorable results when we're done with that.
So what does that mean? That golf made money to the tune of what?
Golf made, it wasn't $100,000, but it was close last year. Their profit.
Yeah, but so somebody on the board says, well, did golf lose money or make money? The answer is they made money.
They made money.
How much?
Yes. About $100,000.
Okay. Yeah. But when would you have the exact figure?
I think we can maybe at the next finance meeting give you an update. I think
this comes before the board next week.
Oh. Well, would we have something by then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. We'll be prepared with that at
the board. Okay. That's
fine. Oh, yeah. We
can just break out the golf? Right.
Okay. Well, I think that's
golf,
a question.
Yeah.
I can tell you tomorrow. Okay. It's calculated. I just don't have it with me.
It's good.
Go home and
count the balls. It's home.
You got to count golf balls tonight.
All right. Anything else?
And then there's just a couple more pages here. 16 and 17 show the job center building and the insurance funds, which Barner already covered. Because these are internal service funds, and we have the balance sheet interest statement for those. Really no surprises there. I think we already went through the insurance. And the job center building has a net income of $62,000, so it's paying for itself there. Any questions?
Any discussion, committee?
We're going to approve.
Second. Any other discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It passes. And that requires a two-thirds vote,
correct.
Does it?
Correct.
Yes, it does. Because there are budget modifications.
Do we wrap both of those into one? The carryover and annual closeout? Didn't we?
The resolution is for the carryover items, those budget modifications, all the things that are behind that in that packet.
So items 7 and 8 were taken care of with one resolution and what we're doing.
Item 7 was basically just Kathy's report on where things are.
Okay.
Item 8 has to do with the budget modifications and the carryovers that need to be.
All right, we'll move on then to the next item, human resources reclassification in the sheriff's department. Chair? Who's going to present here?
Okay. Mr. Chairman, members of the board, it's always a pleasure to be here.
Where's Nancy?
He's Nancy.
I don't know if we could do it without her.
You guys haven't been here long enough tonight. I'm sure I can get her in here in the next 45 minutes.
Yeah,
I
would
love to be called. 10 minutes.
What we're trying to do, what we'd like to do is for this one, and I'll set a little groundwork here. You guys, New World, it's a program that we've been trying to get into the Sheriff's Department, City Police, and Joint Services for years and get the entire system up and running. It is a very comprehensive program that's in our jails. It's in every single part of what we do. The City Police Department does joint services, where it's dispatch or fleet or anything. And it's report writing. It is, again, it's a very comprehensive program that keeps what we do. We also brought in Lexapol. Lexapol is a policies program. We had policies that were still from the 1980s that were supposed to update every single year, but you can never do it. So Lexapol is something that we've been working on for the last 2.5 years to get all of our policies up to speed. And we have been lucky enough to have a retired captain, Captain David Roberts, whom a lot of you know, came back and he has been writing policy. That's been his job for the last 2.5 years with Lexapol and also with New World, getting this up, keeping it going, keeping it up to speed. And again, we've been blessed to have a retired captain who knows both patrol and the jail, because he worked both patrol and the jail before he retired years ago and he came back. What we're looking to do, he right now is a civilian, but we have the best of both worlds. We have a person that he isn't sworn, but he knows everything that the sworn do. He's worked in all the facilities that we have at the Sheriff's Department. So when he writes and creates policies, and when he completes this program in October, we will get updates every single day from Lexapol, and that's Lexapol's policies. We get updates and corrections every single day about New World, which touches every part of the Sheriff's Department. Kind of a sister department down in Florida, which is about our size, has a team of three that all they deal with is just New World. It's either one or two are sworn, and one is an IT person that they do the updates on New World every single day. The City Police Department has one of their sworn people that do just New World and updates and all that every day. When Captain McRoberts leaves, that institutional knowledge of how the Sheriff's Department works, how police officers work, how the jails work, that leaves with him. So what we're looking to do is to change, to reclassify. We're not adding an FTE position. What we're looking to do is keep a law enforcement officer, which we currently have basically, in creating policy, making all the contacts and updating, that knows how our department works, to work with the City Police Department, we're working with Joint Services. We're looking to take this civilian, which is currently Dave McRoberts, a retired captain, and we're trying to make it a lieutenant position. So we're not creating a new FTE, we're just taking a person that has that knowledge, similar knowledge, and we're putting them in that spot. So that's what we're gonna do. That's what our plan is to do in October when retired Captain McRoberts leaves us. So that's what I'm asking to do, is to take a current FTE position, that civilian, as a programs manager, and allow us to, and I know it's in the middle of the year, I got that part, and we usually don't try to do that, but McRoberts isn't giving us until January 1st, so I can put this in the budget for next year.
So the impact is going to be $18,982 for next year's budget?
Yes.
Move to approve.
Second.
And that threat lieutenant is now in the department someplace? Is that?
We'll pick our best one for the spot.
Okay, so
you might want to cross train before he leaves. Yeah. But I'm just saying.
Probably knows what he's doing.
We'll get it covered.
So you don't have to add here. McRoberts is leaving, so you don't have to add anybody. You're going to get somebody.
We're gonna move the person about 90 days in advance because. I mean, one person that we have in mind is a very computer savvy person, but as far as creating the policy and doing everything that we do right now, he doesn't have that. That's why we're doing this right now before McRoberts leaves with it. McRoberts gave me a 9-month notice, so we could get a person in there. Yeah, not everyone does that.
Didn't have a year in him, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe with my tech savvy, I could do it. All right, there is a motion.
Jeff, show.
Discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, thank you. Is this required to do
No budget modification.
Okay. Nancy correct. Would explain it quicker. Just saying.
Oh. Love you, Sheriff.
You guys are tired.
Yeah. You were here.
So this will be presented by the chair of the judiciary. All right. All right, here's your resolution. All right, we'll move on then to the next item, overtime, Sharp.
You have the short straw.
Oh, did you already call it for the next one?
Yes, yeah, we passed the lieutenants and now we're on the overtime.
All right, so we've got some reports here. As you've requested, you wanted an update on overtime as it relates to corrections and our transition to the 12-hour scheduling. So we've prepared a report here looking at that change year over year, this year to last year. We implemented that new schedule as of January 6th of 2019. So what you're looking at are the pay periods, the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth pay periods where that 12-hour scheduling was applied in 2019 compared to those same pay periods in 2018. What you will see, bottom line there, difference year over year, is that we have 1,931.55 hours less of overtime in 2019 than we did prior year, with a difference of $53,098.84. We expect that this trend will continue, but for now, we have actuals for you for
What does patrol look like? The whole sheriff's department.
This was, you asked for two different things at the last meeting. There was a request for the 12-hour shifts. These guys have the 12-hour shifts. Then you asked for a 10-year history on overtime. I have that.
Okay, because I don't see the 10-year history. No, I'm looking. Like, you know, what I know what I asked for. You're playing with my mind.
Nancy was really having a hard time.
That's what I'm saying.
Right up your alley, though, right?
Okay. Yeah, good. So the savings is $53,000.
And you think this is going to continue?
Yes.
Okay.
Just a question.
Yes.
Has this affected any, like down at the jail here downtown, employment of people that work there now, hour-wise, because they're working not only the 12 hours, sometimes extra?
Well, if you remember the amount of overtime we used to have, we worked extra already. But do something. If you're asking me, does everybody like 12 hours? No, not everyone does.
Yeah. What's the breakdown? I mean, what's the morale? Is it a favorable program to the majority of the people or not?
Well, we have some feedback that suggests that some people have more time off than they know what to do with. They don't have overtime like they had before, and in some cases you have people that have more, but there's a mix. We knew it wasn't going to work forever.
Oh, I understand that too, yeah.
And, you know, we are monitoring separations and getting feedback, but overall we think it's a positive move.
Good.
Are there vacancies in the jail staff?
Yeah. Yeah, we are right now. We actually just got another one tonight. that's different. If you remember the way we used to do, I'll make this as short as possible. If you remember what we used to do, if someone gave us a two-week notice, we'd have to go through human services and the whole hiring process. It took us about 8 months to get people on board. Mm-hmm. We created a part-time correctional officer. So we're getting them in, we're hiring them. It's almost a constant hiring process right now. And they're going through, we're doing kind of a classroom type setting for correctional officers. We're getting them through the training faster. So so things are different now. And is there a shortage? Yes. If we would not have done the part-time thing and got up to speed with that, we'd be in so much trouble right now. So that was a huge benefit to our entire department.
Are these people who are second job type people?
For some, the part-time people, yes, we took, when we first did this, we first piloted it, we went to Gateway and we went to Parkside and we went to their, the ones who were going for law enforcement. And we were going to, and we brought them in, we brought about a dozen in, I remember, and they were our first part-time people and they were still going to college.
Nice.
So, and now we open it up to whoever wants to apply and we have kind of a nice cross-section of people applying for it.
So it's not the 8 months from application to on the job.
No, and if you're a part-time person, you've already gone through the classes, and someone leaves, and there's people on our part-time list that want to go full-time, we can immediately transfer them from part-time to full-time.
And you're helping those students get through it.
We're helping if they still want to be part-time, yeah.
Jeff?
Well, that's the shrinking down just of the part-time number. Your regular deputies and everything is still a significant amount of months to, right? You still got the 8 months for that, right?
Yes. And we've got a lot in on probation right now, about 18 or 19.
Yeah. And if I remember correctly, as part of one of the things we tried to do was allow you to have more than you really needed as far as applications or something. To be in the rotation.
We don't hire the part-time.
Right, oh, okay, just the part-time, not the other one?
No.
Got it.
For corrections, not deputies.
Right? Okay.
We're on the same page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope so. I don't know what page I'm on. I'm just asking.
I'm going to get, Nancy will be by my side next time. You respond to her somehow. Okay. I don't know if I answered your questions.
All right, any other discussion on this? No action is required here,
And here's the second part of the report. Supervisor Gentz, you asked for 10 years history on overtime in the Sheriff's Department. This is dollar amounts, and this is by division. So pre-trial, KCDC, Administration Control, Detective Service, and KDOG, the drug unit. Going back to 2008, so actually it's
10-year history. How did you get this together?
It took a little time, but the information is available. So this gives the total then of overtime, and then the last row is the difference year over year. So starting with 2008, obviously there's no difference, and then in 2009, overtime had gone down. And then comparing 2009 to 2010, overtime went down a little further, went up in 2011, and you can see those trends throughout.
Well, because wages keep going up too.
Right, and now 19 is not in here because this is an annual evaluation. So Clara's numbers bring you into 19 and what's happening now, but this goes through 18 for the annual. I can update it with 19 figures when we have those available after the end of the year. You'll see in the patrol line, you specifically asked about patrol, and if you remember right, in 2015 was the year that patrol overtime had jumped so high, and that was the year of Obregon, and there were a bunch of unusual situations where the deputies and detectives had to put in a lot of overtime. And just in glancing at this without really consulting with the Sheriff's Department, it appeared that that overtime was up a little bit in 17 too, but wasn't that the year of the shooting out at the drag strip?
Sounds right.
Yeah.
Flooding?
And the flooding as well, you're right, the flooding. Yeah. That's what I should have remembered. So, there's ups and downs throughout all of this as well. Are there any questions?
Well, I mean, as close as 2012, I mean, we're up $1.3 million in overtime. I mean, we're at $1.8 million, and we're at $3.1 million now.
Right, but that $3.1 million is down from $3.3 million in 17. I understand that. What is not factored into this report is the census of federal inmates. So I don't have in here was inmate revenue up? Were there more inmates that generates additional overtime for corrections?
And I'm glad that's not in here, because right. This gives me a pure number of what's really going on without...
It gives you a pure number, but it doesn't necessarily give you an explanation for the why. And especially in the case of the federal inmates generating overtime, there's an offsetting revenue component to that.
Okay, now that makes sense to me. So you might not know why, but they know why. Why is this number the way it is? I mean, since 2012, it's 1.3 million more than it was back then. Is it due to the inmates, the you know, extraordinary things that have happened? I mean, the cost of things? I mean, what is...
Well, part of the problem with the detentions is that 8 months that it takes to fill a spot, you have to fill it with overtime. If you don't have the people there, you're filling with overtime. So then you take the vacancy dollars and you use that to fill the overtime. So So if you, again, it's starting to improve as far as detention goes with the new schedule, and we're making the positive steps that we've been trying to do for years, truthfully. And the CCEs have been helping with that too. I don't know if I answered that. And I hate to throw it on Nancy, without Nancy going, okay, during this time, because she does a breakdown per pay period, I know you've seen it before, well, Country Thunder was this week, and we had the flooding this week, and the Obregons went on these three pay periods, and that. Nancy could, I mean, that's all broken down. She could answer that better.
Right, and I'm just looking at, you know, 2008 to 2012, you know, and then you look at the last 5 years, I mean, it's way up. And I understand we're going down and we're trying to implement things, and I get that. But if I'm looking at this snapshot, it's significantly higher.
But you also take into consideration dollars, too. What's the pay back in 2008 compared to 10 years later? It isn't the same overtime rate. So that changes, too. It'd be more interesting if you had hours rather than dollars.
And I didn't have a breakdown of hours that went back all the way to 2008.
What is Act 10? What year did Act 10 come in?
2010, 2011.
It was, I believe it started in 2011 and then kind of got phased in depending on certain things over
there. There are some deputies who are still under the old plan as far as Wisconsin retirement. There are some that are, the new ones have to pay their half and the older ones are still, right?
Correct.
Was that by contract or something or what?
Deputies are in contract.
Yeah, so they must have negotiated that. Why would you do that?
Well, thank you for creating the report. I still, I don't know. I like a lot of the things we're doing to try to bring the overtime down. And I understand the time value of money. I get that, but I don't know. I don't know if I can make that being. I don't think your pay has gone up that much.
I couldn't tell you without being analyzing.
Yeah, it's not only the wage increases, but the starting wage, I bet you, for, I'm just saying, in 2012, the starting wage of a correctional officer compared to now, I'm sure it's much more. They've had to raise that in order to attract.
All right, that concludes it. Thank you very much. And
thank you.
We'll move on to the next item, reports. Are there any?
Claire may have something.
Yes,
for
human
resources.
Sure.
So I just wanted to update the committee. We did go out for an RFP for insurance consultant. So we're in that process right now. We did get 6 responses back, and we'll begin that evaluation process. And also, next week on the 18th, we will open negotiations with the Mercer County Deputy Sheriff's Association. Their contract expires at year end, so we'll begin that process on the 18th.
So how does that process work with the deputies? Do they go through arbitration at the end or something, or what?
Well,
I mean,
we hope not.
Yeah. Well, the deputy sheriff, though, that's the only contract you have to negotiate.
Yes.
Correct.
So does it, what if they can't settle, but then you end and do they end up having arbitration?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Be positive, Rob.
Yeah,
well, there's still something left for the union. Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, that concludes the agenda. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
I'm going to jump on all day.
I beat Jeff.
There's a winner.
You can have it.
Thank
you. Vote.
All yours?
All eyes?
Yes.
I voted
no.
I don't want to stay here.
I need one.
Huh?